At the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland today, President Trump praised the passage of tax cuts and his handling of the U.S. economy.
We are creating an environment that attracts capital, invites investment, and rewards production. America is the place to do business. So come to America, where you can innovate, create, and build.
In that speech, Trump also described the U.S. immigration system as stuck in the past. The White House yesterday released a proposal that would grant citizenship for some young immigrants, but in return would fund the wall and reduce some forms of legal immigration.
And at Davos, world leaders booed Trump today when, during an impromptu question and answer session, he complained about how vicious and how fake the press can be. Well, fake news is how he's describing the story first reported by the New York Times last night, that in June, he ordered the firing of FBI Special Counsel Robert Mueller, a month after he fired FBI Director James Comey, and that President Trump only backed off because White House counsel Don McGahn threatened to quit rather than remove Mueller from the investigation into possible Trump campaign collusion with Russia. So, a few things to talk about on this Friday. Let's convene our Friday Politics Roundtable. This week we have Rick Klein, a political director for ABC News. He's in Washington. Hi, Rick.
Great to be with you.
And Alan Gomez, immigration reporter for USA Today. He joins us from Miami. Hi, Alan.
Thanks for having me.
And Rick, just start with, you know, if the president, in this explosive four sources story in the New York Times, if he had followed through and ordered the firing of Mueller, and if it had happened, or even just by ordering the firing of Mueller, is there something illegal in that?
No, although as President Trump realized here and as President Nixon learned very famously during Watergate, people actually have to go through with that. And Rod Rosenstein is the acting attorney general who oversees this investigation. He's even said that he would have to do it for cause. So there are limits on presidential power. But if president wanted to fire Mueller, he could do it. He could do it. It would be, though, politically explosive. And that's exactly the revelation that's the relevance of this revelation, because right now we know that his annoyance with Mueller got to the stage that he wasn't just mulling publicly the possibility of a firing, but actually trying to set those wheels in motion over the summer.
Well, so there's that, and people are contemplating that today. But what does it mean that Trump and all of his aides have been saying for months they never thought about this? Everybody's trotting out the sound, and you're hearing all these montages, Kellyanne Conway, others saying, no, he never thought of that. And here's Trump himself back in August talking to reporters when stories were circulating that he did want to fire Robert Mueller.
I haven't given it any thought. I mean, I've been reading about it from you people. You say, I'm going to dismiss him. No, I'm not dismissing anybody. I mean, I want
that. Rick Klein, this appears to be not telling the truth. I mean, how is this resonating?
It is not telling the truth. And I think critically here that in learning about this last night, it was all news to us, but it almost certainly was not news to Robert Mueller. And the reason is Mueller has brought in people like the White House counsel, Don McGahn, people like Reince Priebus and Sean Spicer, other top White House officials have been in to see him. And if they are telling the truth, then they told him about this episode. And
because you can't lie to the FBI.
You can't lie to the FBI. You also can't claim executive privilege, as some of them did before Congress. Mueller, it appears, is getting answers and may at some point get answers from President Trump himself.
Rick, before we move on, I just want to ask you one more question. Who benefits from this news coming out? Don McGahn? I mean, who might have had an interest in calling the New York Times and saying, you should put this story in your paper about how President Trump was going to fire Mueller?
Lots of theories out there. My favorite is that it actually benefits White House counsel in the sense that President Trump would now be on record as knowing this was the case. And if and when he sits down with Robert Mueller, he really can't lie about this. If he can't deny that this happened, because it is now confirmed that Mueller knows about it.
Alan Gomez, yeah, go ahead.
I mean, I was just going to say, I just wanted to look at this from a slightly different perspective. Yesterday, before the news came out, I had a long sit down with former Florida Governor Jeb Bush. And we were assessing, you know, Trump's first year, talking about the future of the party. And, you know, obviously not a lot of love lost between those two after that 2016 Republican primary. But what Bush was most concerned about is the effect that this president is going to have on the Republican Party as a whole heading into the 2018 midterm elections. The way he sees it, if Democrats can nationalize those races, in other words, make them about Trump rather than local issues, in his words, the Republicans will lose. And every day that we get another series of stories like this is just more panic for that Republican Party, that the focus is going to remain on Trump and remain on these kind of stories.
Well, clearly one of the big issues issues this year is going to be immigration, and I want to ask you about that. Breitbart News is calling Trump Amnesty Don for offering an eventual path to citizenship for some young immigrants in that proposal that came out yesterday. On Fox News yesterday, Republican Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee didn't sound like she was in favor of the idea.
There is more conversation about a path to legalization, and here is why. We do not want to see anyone get in front of people that have been going through the legal immigration process.
Alan, what do you think is going to happen in the next couple of weeks on the issue of Dreamers and the wall and immigration and maybe another government shutdown?
Well, I mean, as Breitbart put it with Amnesty Don, the Center for Immigration Studies, a group that advocates against immigration, they referred to this as the art of the choke. Mm-hmm. And basically what the president managed to do is something very rare. He unified Washington. Republicans are opposed to this plan because it legalizes too many Dreamers. Liberals and Democrats are opposed to this plan because it represents what amounts to nearly 25% reduction in legal immigration into the country. They say that is way too much. And so we're stuck here kind of where everything began, what the congresswoman was just talking about right there. You know, it sort of sounds like the debates we've been having over the past 20 years. Everyone's kind of dug into their sides, and I just don't see how they're going to resolve this in just the next couple of weeks.
Well, Alan, let's talk a little bit more about what this bill does, because I mean, the president might have had his eye on the polls. Most Americans want those, quote, dreamers, people the DACA recipients brought here as children, want them to have a path to citizenship or at least extend their ability to stay here. He knows that. But this plan also cuts what people who don't like it call chain migration immigration. Other people call it family reunification. It's the way most Americans who've come to this country have come. One person comes, they do well. A wife comes, then a child comes. That is eliminated in this proposal.
Yeah, so on the Dreamer side of things, I think the concern from so many conservatives is how many of them will get legal status. Under the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program created by President Obama and terminated by President Trump, there was about 800,000 of them that were protected, and there's been a lot of talk about Congress creating a legal mechanism for them to stay here, maybe allowing them to become citizens. But what the White House did was, in their words, make a huge concession by going up to, you know, adding an extra million people to that group. On the flip side, right, Democrats are very concerned about family reunification. Right now, if you're a U.S. citizen or a green card holder, you can sponsor your spouse, your children, your minor children and adult children, your parents, some nephews and nieces, and in some cases, your grandchildren. They're going to cut most of that and only allow your spouse and your minor children to come into the country. And for them, that represents just way too much.
So, Rick, is the government going to shut down again in a couple of weeks?
We'll be right back where we started. I think that that's a savvy way to put it. Look, 2 weeks to solve things that have taken two decades to get through. There's been enormous pressure on Democrats to make sure that this is the moment that Dreamers get delivered on, because there aren't that many moments for leverage for Democrats these days. So I think it's very likely that we are staring down another shutdown in just a few weeks' time. The president putting out his framework, I don't know that that's advanced the discussion, although I think there's significant pressure on the White House to say what President Trump is actually for, because he has been, frankly, all over the map on this issue.
Okay, we want to take a look abroad because President Trump was on British TV with the host Piers Morgan, who asked him to apologize for his retweet, you know, this was last November, of that anti-Muslim video, which was produced by a far-right British hate group. Let's listen.
Here's what's fair. If you're telling me there's a horrible people, horrible racist people,
yeah,
horrible, I would certainly apologize if you'd like me to do that. I know nothing about them.
And Piers went on to say, you would disavow yourself of people. And Trump said, I don't want to be involved with people. You're telling me about these people because I know nothing about these people. Rick, what do we make of this? You know, knows nothing about something that he's retreating, causing at that time a huge international spasm.
That's what I found out about this. This was a very big deal at the time. So for the president to say he was unaware of this, the White House was asked about it very directly about what the president's sentiments were in this. It's about as close to an apology as you'll ever hear from President Trump. He very rarely backtracks in any way. to me, it suggests that he did not want the headline out of this trip to Davos to be that he is doubling down in his support for right-wing extremist groups or in any way apologizing for them. It's a more disciplined Trump, perhaps, to say, look, I didn't know about it. I wasn't trying to cause any offense. It is different than the initial White House explanation. And I think it was a bit strategic in just saying, I don't want this to dominate the headlines.
Mm. Alan Gomez, the State of the Union address is coming up next Tuesday. What are you expecting?
I think a lot of the same. I mean, he's gonna talk a lot about immigration. If the last year is any guide, he's gonna talk a lot about sort of the crime that undocumented immigrants commit in this country. He's gonna talk about the need for a border wall. I assume we're not going to hear any comments about foreign countries like he's, you know, like the language he's used when it comes to Haiti and several African nations. But I don't think in any way he's going to back down from his view that his focus needs to be on American workers and on ensuring that terrorists and other folks can't get into the country.
He'll probably also claim the tax cuts, appointment to the Supreme Court. So we'll see. Alan Gomez, immigration reporter for USA Today, Rick Klein, political director for ABC News. Too bad there's nothing going on. Thank you both
as always
for weighing in.
Thank you.
Thank you.